Genesis chapter 47, I'll begin reading with verse 13. There was no food, however, in the whole region because the famine was severe. Both Egypt and Canaan wasted away because of the famine. Joseph collected all the money that was to be found in Egypt and Canaan in payment for the grain they were buying, and he brought it to Pharaoh's palace. When the money of the people of Egypt and Canaan was gone, all Egypt came to Joseph and said, "Give us food. Why should we die before your eyes? Our money is used up." "Then bring your livestock," said Joseph. "I will sell you food in exchange for the livestock since your money is gone." So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and he gave them food in exchange for their horses, their sheep and goats, their cattle and donkeys. And he brought them through that year with food in exchange for all their livestock. When that year was over, they came to him the following year and said, "We cannot hide from our Lord the fact that since our money is gone and our livestock belongs to you, there is nothing left for our Lord except our bodies and our land. Why should we perish before your eyes, we and our land as well? Buy us and our land in exchange for food, and we with our land will be in bondage to Pharaoh. Give us seed so that we may live and not die, and that the land may not become desolate." So Joseph bought all the land in Egypt for Pharaoh. The Egyptians, one and all, sold their fields because the famine was too severe for them. The land became Pharaoh's, and Joseph reduced the people to servitude from one end of Egypt to the other. However, he did not buy the land of the priests because they received a regular allotment from Pharaoh and had enough food from the allotment Pharaoh gave them. That is why they did not sell their land. Joseph said to the people, "Now that I have bought you and your land today for Pharaoh, here is seed for you so you can plant the ground. But when the crop comes in, give a fifth of it to Pharaoh. The other four-fifths you may keep as seed for the fields and as food for yourselves and your households and your children." "You have saved our lives," they said. "May we find favor in the eyes of our Lord. We will be in bondage to Pharaoh." So Joseph established it as a law concerning land in Egypt, still in force today, that a fifth of the produce belongs to Pharaoh. It was only the land of the priests that did not become Pharaoh's. Now the Israelites settled in Egypt in the region of Goshen. They acquired property there and were fruitful and increased greatly in number. God's word for our examination this morning. Please be seated. Most of us know that traditionally April 15th is known as Income Tax Day. However, this year, the deadline to have tax returns postmarked is April 18th, tomorrow, just in case any of you have been procrastinators. Some individuals have written some interesting comments about taxes. Listen to this one. "Everybody should pay his income tax with a smile. I tried it, but it didn't work. They wanted cash. A fine is a tax you pay for doing wrong, and a tax is a fine you pay for doing all right." This year, as I completed our personal income tax returns, I discovered Teresa and I owed the federal government an additional $317, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania an additional $148, and then the Franklin County Area Tax Bureau, they wanted an additional $59 from us. Now, as we read this text together, maybe some of you are wondering, well, I didn't see that word taxes specifically in this passage. But you are right. The word is not explicitly mentioned in Genesis chapter 47, but certainly the concept of taxes is there. Did you know there are 46 specific references to taxes in the Bible? And here are just a few examples. Today, I know when many people itemize their deductions, they're looking forward to exempt some income from taxes. Did you know that was probably one of the reasons David risked his life to challenge Goliath? Listen to 1 Samuel 17:25. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." You didn't know that David was, could we say, encouraged to slay Goliath in order to get that tax exemption for David's father's family. How about property tax assessments? We never like to get that bill in the mail, do we? Is that anything brand new? No. We read in 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 35, Jehoiakim paid Pharaoh Necho the silver and gold he demanded. In order to do so, he taxed the land and exacted the silver and gold from the people of the land according to their assessments. Now, each of us know what happens if you don't pay your property tax assessment. The government will take it. Entire groups of individuals at the Jerusalem temple were exempted from paying taxes by the Persian king Artaxerxes in Ezra chapter 7, verse 24. It says, "You are also to know that you have no authority to impose taxes, tribute, or duty on any of the priests, Levites, singers, gatekeepers, temple servants, or other workers of this house of God." Unquote. Just think. I bet we'd have this choir all filled if people knew if they sang in a choir they didn't have to pay taxes, right? Now, I'm sure there's still many individuals today who have to borrow money to pay their property taxes. Listen to Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 4. Still others were saying, "We have had to borrow money to pay the king's tax on our fields and vineyards." So borrowing money to pay your taxes, that's nothing new. Now, did you know in ancient times people made comments about lavish government spending just like people do today? Daniel the prophet, Daniel chapter 11, verse 20, said, "His successor will send out a tax collector to maintain the royal splendor." One of Jesus' disciples, of course, had been employed by the first century equivalent of the Internal Revenue Service. His name was Matthew. And we read in Matthew 9:9, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. And of course, in Matthew chapter 17, verses 25 and 26, we find this very interesting dialogue that Jesus Christ took part in concerning who pays taxes and who doesn't pay taxes. It says, "When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. 'What do you think, Simon?' he asks. 'From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others?' Peter answered, 'From others.' 'Then the sons are exempt,' Jesus told him." You know, Jesus was challenged by people who said, "Should we pay taxes or shouldn't we pay taxes?" And Jesus decided to challenge his critics in Matthew 22:19 when he said, "Show me the coin used for paying the tax." And the Bible says they brought him a denarius. Now, what was a denarius? Some believe that the Roman denarius is one of the most interesting coins in the Bible. It was a silver coin, and it was about the diameter of our American dime. Of course, our dimes aren't made of silver anymore. We all know that. It was a very common Roman coin during the time of Jesus and the disciples. And did you know that coin collectors have been able to obtain originals of every one of the 12 Roman emperors who reigned during that New Testament time period? You see, these coins weren't just minted as a medium of exchange, but they were minted to glorify the Caesar. And that one tiny little denarius that was made of silver, that was equivalent to a single day's wages back then. And we find in Matthew 22:17, in Mark 12:14, and in Luke 20:22, Jesus was asked the same question about taxes. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And of course, Jesus answered in the affirmative. Luke 3:12 tells us that tax collectors also came to be baptized. Luke 19:2 says, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. Remember Zacchaeus, the wee little man that climbed up into the tree? Hey, he was a tax collector. We forget about that. He was a chief tax collector, and the Bible says he was very wealthy. But clearly, there is, in Genesis chapter 47, an inference to taxes. And I want to more clearly demonstrate that for you. Remember, it was a time of economic hardship, but also in Egypt and much of the Middle East. And we find a description here in Genesis chapter 47 of the increasing plight of the Egyptians with reference to three situations that depicted their worsening economic situation. First of all, the people spent all of their money for food. Second, when the money ran out, they traded their livestock for food. Third, when their livestock was all gone, they traded their land for food. All of this for food so they can keep themselves alive. In this way, the Egyptian government, headed by the Pharaoh, became the owner of all the people's money, livestock, and their land. The power of the central government grew immensely. Now, some scholars would compare this to feudalism, a kind of political and economic system that was practiced in Europe during the Middle Ages. That was a time when there wasn't a strong central government in many areas. And under feudalism, the nobleman served as the property owner, and the vassals promised their homage and service in return, not for food, but for justice and protection. However, I believe a modern term, socialism, best describes what happened in ancient Egypt. I remember when I used to teach economics near Cincinnati, Ohio, the classic definition of socialism was government ownership and control of the basic means of production, distribution, and exchange. A socialist economy is an economic system in which the principal means of production is owned by the state and its resources are allocated not by individuals, not by the free market system, but by a strong central government. After the Egyptian government gained ownership of the land, Joseph gave oversight to the land to who? Government bureaucrats. And only the powerful pagan priests were able to protect their lands from state control, a policy that was not necessarily Joseph's, but one with which Joseph had to live. Apparently, the ordinary Egyptians, they were grateful just to survive. And so they accepted this totalitarian, socialistic, governmental system with gratitude. They were working in fields that they once owned, but now the government owned. The state supplied the seeds for planting, and what was their tax? 20% of their harvest every year had to go to Pharaoh. And this tax rate became the standard tax rate for the land of Egypt. Now you're probably wondering, how does this compare to our tax burden today? Well, it depends on what state you live in. For example, here are some rankings produced by the Tax Foundation for the fiscal year 2012. If you live in New York, any New Yorkers here today? I didn't think so. Oh, well, former New Yorker. I see you back there. All right. New Yorkers face the highest tax burden with 12.7% of their income going to state and local taxes. At the other end of the spectrum, if you don't want to pay much in state or local taxes, you need to move to Alaska. The tax burden there is 6.5%, half of what it is in New York State. Now, you're probably saying, I don't live in Alaska and I don't live in New York. for all of you who are proud residents of the state of Maryland. Your state and local taxes are seventh highest in the nation at 10.9%. And for those of you that live in Pennsylvania, that wonderful commonwealth less than 2 miles up the road that way, your taxes are 15th in the nation, 10.2%. And all you people who live in West Virginia better put on a big smile today, because your taxes, I'm surprised it came out like this, you are 18th highest in the nation, 9.8% of your income goes to state and local taxes. Now, you're probably thinking, well, Pastor, I know that's not the big tax bill. The big tax bill, that's the federal one. And according to the Tax Foundation, in 2012, the overall federal tax rate was 12.2%, excluding what tax? Social Security tax. So if you do some basic math, add up the state and local and federal taxes together, not even counting Social Security as a percentage of income, you will find we are paying a higher percentage of our income in taxes than the ancient Egyptians did under the pharaohs. You know, people have always faced economic challenges. People have always faced a shortage of resource. Remember, Genesis 47:13 indicates there wasn't any food. People always have faced a change in status. In Genesis 47:18, we see the middle class lost their middle class status as they lost their money and their livestock. And then we see the government intervention in Genesis 47:20. Private ownership of land was out, and the socialistic government ownership of the land was in. Genesis 47:21 records the loss of freedom as slavery increased. And we find the imposition of further financial restrictions in Genesis 47:24, when 20% of all future crops harvested would become taxes. You know, John Locke was an English political philosopher who influenced the founders of our nation. And he wrote about the importance of life, liberty, and property. And these words were an inspiration to Thomas Jefferson, the principal author of the Declaration of Independence, who wrote about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Did you know Benjamin Franklin served on that committee with Jefferson writing the Declaration of Independence? And Benjamin Franklin had something to say about taxes. Listen to this carefully. The taxes are indeed very heavy. And if those paid by the government were the only ones we had to pay, we might more easily discharge them, but we have many others and much more grievous to some of us. We are taxed twice as much by our idleness, three times as much by our pride, four times as much by our folly, and from these taxes, the commissioners cannot ease or deliver us by allowing an abatement. Words of Benjamin Franklin. Remember when you took those American history classes you hated in high school? And you learned one of the slogans of our American Revolution was, "No taxation without representation." And did you ever wish Patrick Henry could come back and see what taxation with representation means? Obviously, none of the founders believed following independence we could escape taxation. But neither did the Apostle Paul in the first century. Remember, Paul was living under the wicked rule of autocratic Roman emperors who consented to the torture and execution of Christian believers. And while this was going on, the Lord inspired Paul to write the following in Romans 13:5-7. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone that you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let's reflect on God's word as we stand and turn to number 353, Victory in Jesus. Number 353.